From Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
We'll with tonight's guest, founder of Zen Warrior Training, Sam Morris.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky. With the stars.
And musical guest, MR. I am Mark Leger, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
What is that quote, walk a mile in a man's moccasins or something like that, or don't judge a man until you walk in his moccasins, or I don't know, something like that. Well, that's gonna be more meaningful a little later on in the show, but this is where I'm going to start with it. So I've never been a waiter, and I have to say that I didn't understand what it was like to be a waiter or a server in that sense. And so until I had friends who were waiters, I didn't really know how to order. And that might sound silly, but there are things that people, the general public doesn't understand that has never been a waiter. So it's not okay to make fun of the waiters, and it's not okay to, you know, not look in their eye and help them understand what you're trying to order, blah, blah, blah. So I know I have learned, and I think I'm a better customer because I have learned from my friends who are waiters. So all this to say that I ordered something at a restaurant. I was out of town this weekend. I ordered something at a restaurant, and it came nothing like the order that I thought I ordered. And I thought I'd done a really good, clear job. And it wasn't a difficult order. It really wasn't. And it was one of these restaurants where you could watch them make the food. So here's my point, is that I've also learned never send something back, because when it comes back, if the waiter's upset with you or the cook's upset with you, they could do something in your food. So in this case, there's a window. And so I could see, and so I watched, because I was at the bar and I watched my food being remade. And here's the point. Point is, nobody spat in my food. They did it right. And I got my food and I was all happy. Except I thought, well, wait a minute. I know there's more than going on than what meets the eye. So what kind of energy was the cook and the waiter and the server, whatever, putting into my food? And I thought, wow, I'd love to get some of these scientists that we know and we've had on the show, HeartMath and Nassim, all these people together, and hook up wires to all of these people and put up a situation and have, you know, somebody complain about something and have the chef make food and watch it. Watch what happens to his brain and to the energy of the food. And what I might have gotten that second time around might have been not healthy for me because of the energy that had been there. Maybe I would have been better off if he had spit my or if I had just eaten what I'd been given the first time. Okay, so why am I saying this? Because that's important. I think that's important. I want us to think about that. And here's the other part, is that this weekend also, I watched a couple friends of mine, two different scenarios, go through two completely different, difficult situations. And my first reaction was to feel sorry for them and to be upset for them and to have sympathy for them. And then that thing at the restaurant happened. And I thought, wow, I'm doing the same thing to my friends as the waiter or server or a cook might be doing to my food. Like, I might be sending them negative energy. Like, I'm sorry for you, or I feel bad for you, and I'm sending them bad energy. And I said, whoa, Filippo, send them positive energy. Send them send them compassion. Send them love. Send them. So I bring this up because today we have a young man who's a brilliant young man in our studio today, who had a little bit, maybe tougher time getting here than all of us did, because he's in a wheelchair and doesn't have the use of his legs. We'll know more about his story in a moment. And I know that a lot of us, the first thing we think, I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to bring this up when we're with our guest, Sam Morris. the Zen warrior master when we come back after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
I am Filippo Voltaggio, and I'm sitting here with Mark Lejeur and our guest. But Mark, I'm sure that did nothing for you. You went nowhere with that.
Not at all. In fact, I'd like to have a whole another show on that topic. You opened about five files. Thinking not only the researchers you mentioned, but think of Dr. Emoto, we speak of, and some of the PSI studies that IONS have done, and energetic science, Bill Tiller. When you get into the science of the energy in the water, what the vibration does, whether it's positive or negative to water molecules, and obviously that is involved in the cooking process. And so we were saying on the break, right, I was curious, what's the difference between eating maybe angry food like you were experiencing your second time around, or the happy but spat on food potentially? But
no. If he spit on my food, he wasn't happy.
Well, it doesn't know the difference.
He was happy to spit on it. Yeah, that made him feel good.
But it does. It raises a question about, you know, you've heard that age old statement about mom or dad putting love in the food.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I believe it makes a difference at a level that we didn't have an understanding before, or we're at a conscious understanding. Maybe we felt it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to talk so much more about that too. So let's have a show. Let's decide to have a show on that. And today, and the reason why I brought it up is because of our guest, Sam Morris. Listen to this. In 1999, just after leading a bicycling trip for 9 teenagers across the United States, Sam was in a car accident caused by a drunk driver, which left him paralyzed from the waist down. Rather than becoming the victim of his circumstances, Sam learned and created a system of mental and physical training that brought him more vitality and clarity than he had ever had before his injury. He is now the Zen Master Warrior Trainer. Sam Morris, thank you for being here in the studio with us.
It's such a pleasure to be here. And I've just been like amazed by the two radio voices that you both have, very sharp radio voices. And it's such a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
And our radio faces, what's wrong with our radio faces? So Sam, with that monologue, you know exactly where I was going. So yes. The energy of, oh, I feel so sorry for you.
Yes, yes. Well, it's not really useful. It's not useful energy. And, after my injury happened, I had to go through, I had a really good attitude from the very beginning. Let's just say that. I had a good attitude, but I still had to go through a lot of deep down, like, why me? Why me? I was not someone who did not use my legs. I like, as you
yeah,
were
hello.
Just saying, professional, bicycling. A bicyclist, leading a bicycling trip across the U.S., expert snowboarder, skier. I used to hike every day. I was an avid outdoorsman. So my whole life revolved around being outside, using my legs, not to mention also everything else from the waist down as well. So that was pretty intense. And then over the course of the years, I went in and out of hospitals due to pressure sores, which actually was, that added an insult to injury and put me in hospitals for a total of over 2 years.
I don't know what that is.
So that's when you get skin breakdown. A lot of people in wheelchairs get skin breakdown because of the atrophy and the lack of sensation where they're sitting. So whereas normally only people in convalescent homes get bed sores.
Right.
People in wheelchairs tend to get sores from sitting in their chairs if they're not really careful.
Wow.
And so I wasn't particularly careful when I first got into it, ended up having a series of pressure sores, which put me out for a while, like over 2 years total. And so during those times, I would definitely go through the why me for sure. And on the outside, I had a positive attitude, but on the inside, I had to go through that sort of inner torment of the process. And ultimately, none of that ever did me a whole lot of good. But looking back on it, it gave me a powerful perspective on looking at life through that lens. And actually, I began to really look at it through the perspective of why not me?
Oh, so hold on. I think what you just said, you said it didn't do you a lot of good to be thinking through what the negative perspective, right? Mm-hmm. And to ask that question per se.
Yeah, it just takes you out of empowerment. So there's absolutely no choice to be made when you're experiencing a negative perspective. Instead, you're in reaction to the situation rather than responding to the situation.
Mm.
So in reaction, anytime that you're stuck in a negative feeling or you're victimizing yourself, no matter whether that victimization is really valid, such as in the case of being stuck in a hospital for months and months, or any sort of victimization, you're creating a reactionary response energetically. You're basically saying the only thing that I can do right now is to feel sorry for myself.
I have to say, you know, I forgot about the snowboarding. And I mean, could you list that again?
Sure. Yeah, I was an expert snowboarder, expert skier. I used to hike every day. Outdoor stuff was my life.
And that the accident had nothing to do with some of this could be extreme stuff that you did, right?
Totally.
Nothing to do with that.
Yeah. It would have been a much better story had it been like dropping off a cliff and breaking my back.
For yourself, it's like, but I wanted to do that, or, you know, right, but yeah. I had that rush or something.
Well, it gave me the opportunity instead to work with forgiveness, which is a powerful tool.
Wow.
And so,
wow.
You know, my accident was the fault of someone else. And so
I drunk someone else
on top of it all.
Yeah.
So I really had to, I mean, I see the whole thing. And this is just my perspective on people's lives in general. I see the whole thing as what the soul chooses to go through life doing.
Mm.
And if you get caught up in your mind about analyzing it and reacting to the situation, then you're creating a sort of a mental overlay to what is actually, in my experience, feels like the soul's evolution.
Wow.
So I really feel like that was my evolution. Like I have a very, very strong sense that was, that this is all part of a larger plan by my soul to go through something where it had to go through that depth of forgiveness for someone else to be able to get to my next level of evolution.
And you did that? You forgave?
I forgave him immediately because I was too concerned about him. He was kind of an idiot and I just met him that day, but for myself. I forgave him for myself because otherwise I would have been caught in a negative reaction.
Yeah.
So I set myself free by forgiving him. Exactly. I knew that the only way I was going to find freedom was to forgive. So I did it immediately. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Thankfully we have to take a break because I think I'm just about to break down here. Wow. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you.
So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'd like to talk, if I can, I'd like to talk about, Mark, you too, your eyes are all, sorry, I don't mean to call you out. thank you for moving us this way, talk about, okay, so we talked about forgiveness, but there are many, many other processes and other things you had to come to. So definitely want to know that. Wow, this is big stuff. And a little later on, we have Imar. And so that's exciting. And the two of you know each other.
Yeah,
Sam
yeah.
And Imar. And
how
look
that?
How that happens.
Yeah.
I love that. All right, so when we come back on the Life Changes Show, right after this.
listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back, and I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Legere and our guest, Sam Morris. And Sam, actually, you know, before the break, I almost broke down. You get that a lot, I'm sure. You bring that out of
people. No, you were the only crybaby I've ever encountered, actually. Pull it together, dude. Come on.
I am sure. I haven't had the pleasure of going to one of your Zen warrior trainings, but you bring people, you know, to their heart.
Yeah, that's the whole idea. Yeah, bring people to their heart, and really, you know, my vision for the world is people living from their highest potential. And I don't mean like a job where you feel like you've reached your highest potential, or, you know, the word potential gets really overused. And what I'm really referring to is really feeling that you are fully living from your soul, so that your thoughts get on board with your soul's direction, so that everything that you're doing is evolutionary process, so that in every moment you're just aware that you are the evolutionary process of yourself, bringing in the highest vibration into the world that you are possibly capable of, and then affecting the world through your vibration. Then what you choose to do with that is then up to you, whether you choose to apply that as an accountant or whether you choose that to apply that as a life coach or whatever. It doesn't really matter as much as what are you doing with your own vibrational field, your own soul, to affect the most change in yourself, to evolve consciously yourself, and through doing so, help others around you evolve consciously as well. So yeah, that's really my whole intention for the world, is to impact people on that level.
You know, when I hear your consciousness and your perspective and coming with the story that you come from, the only word, not the only word, one of the words that comes up for me is gift.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's a lot of people that would look at you and immediately say, "Boy, that was a gift." Mm-hmm. But knowing how you move people and how many people you're affecting and how many more you're going to affect and change, there's a gift in that.
Oh, totally. I think the way I see it is each challenge is a gift, but you have to choose to make it a gift. Mm-hmm. And that choice means going really actively surrendering to a higher calling. So something bigger than the voice in your mind that wants to fight with your circumstances. And
yeah, you know, let's actually talk about that. Yeah. And on our way to that, that choice you talked about, I know you get this question, and you tell me, what's your reaction to people saying, yeah, well, it's easy for you to inspire people.
Right, right. Well, it is. It's easy for me to inspire people. And it's easy for me to inspire people because of everything that I've been through. So, you know, since my injury 16 years ago, I went through such massive challenges. And yeah, I wear my injury in such a way where people don't even really see it. They're like, you actually have to look deeper than myself, the self that I portray, to be able to see, oh, there's also a wheelchair here too. Mm-hmm. And so that then inspires people because they don't really see the disability, and yet they do see the disability. So there's that kind of like, okay, well, he's clearly in a wheelchair. He's clearly had to go through some intense stuff, and he's clearly not being affected by it as well. And because of that, of course I inspire.
Well, seemingly people. Not being affected by it.
Well, yes, exactly. I'm affected by it every day, of course. And the challenge doesn't go away.
Which is what people don't see.
Which is what people don't see. Exactly. Right. Even my wife doesn't see that a lot of the time, because, you know, she's just used to this really high-spirited, high-vibration person. And sometimes I have to be like, yeah, and I do have extra challenges. I don't know if you remember that as well.
Wow. Yeah. We're laughing, but yeah. you make the wheelchair kind of go away.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's the whole idea. I see the whole process. Life is to me like a game. Like, how well can I master this situation through treating it like a game, treating my whole experience as an adventure? And it's one of the principles of Zen warrior training: treat life as an adventure. So every moment is part of that adventure. Every moment is part of that game to be able to uncover deeper levels of awareness inside myself. I mean, there is nothing more extraordinary than uncovering deeper levels of awareness and consciousness inside oneself. Nothing on the outside even compares to being able to discover oneself and discover one's inner strength on another level. I mean, that to me is where the real juiciness of life is. That's where the evolution is far more exciting than any kind of car, house, or anything like that could possibly be.
The Zen warriors are the right words. You deserve such powerful language, because, you know, what you embody and your spirit is such a great analogy and so relatable to everybody in their own individual stories. And I couldn't help but think of mine while listening to you talk, because I had my financial legs taken out from under me, mm-hmm. except I didn't immediately forgive, mm-hmm. and I didn't mm-hmm. move into, you know, I stayed on the other side for the longest time, and mm-hmm. I stayed as a victim, and I stayed in that story, and mm-hmm. and yet here you are being able to bring, you know, it's, as you said, a constant process, but to bring that to others and allow them to see that compared to their stories.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, in relative terms, no comparison will ever really be all that useful either. Like, if some people are out there listening to this and going, oh man, what's wrong with me? I judge myself, or I don't forgive, or whatever. And then you're in judgment of yourself for judging yourself, or in judgment of yourself for not forgiving or whatever, then it's actually just adding a negative on top of a negative, mm-hmm. and you don't actually get beyond that negative thought cycle. So really, everyone has their own organic timing. And that's something that needs to be, I think, respected and acknowledged for everyone. Like, I think everyone is exactly where they need to be in their process, in their evolutionary process. And when you're ready to forgive, you forgive. When you're ready to let go, you let go. But before that, you have to deal with a certain amount of pain that is self-created pain, to be able to get, okay, well, there's nothing left for me with creating this pain, with creating this cycle of negative thinking. There's literally nothing left. But it can take hitting a certain level of rock bottom before that awareness creeps in. And suddenly you realize, okay, well, I can't go any farther from here. So I have to start letting go of this and open up to a new experience. And that has its own organic timing depending on the individual.
Amazing.
I wasn't going to go here, but before the show, you said, you know, Filippo, you could even go here. And now I can't resist. You, had you not, you know, I,
yeah.
It's like saying, don't go here. And then, you know, so don't see a white elephant in the room or whatever, pink elephant, blue. So you know where I'm going to go.
I do.
How do I say it? Let me say it. I dug the hole. Let me say it. Because you come across, you're handsome, you come across strong, powerful, and you come across manly. Okay. Now that's how we see you. Now, you being able to see yourself that way, what did that take?
Yeah, that was challenging. I think as any male who's had a spinal cord injury and who's lost his sexual function, his normal genital sexual function will tell you, that's one of the hardest pieces. That is definitely one of the hardest pieces because it's so wrapped up with identity. And our culture really feeds into that identity piece. And so with losing your ability to walk, you can be like, okay, well, I've lost my ability to walk. It's this kind of mechanical thing.
You're a man that can't walk.
You're a man that can't walk, exactly. You lose your sexual function, suddenly it becomes a whole lot harder to go out and find dates. It becomes a whole lot harder to deal with how do I embrace myself as a full masculine human being with no normal genital function. And so that was an evolution that had to take, that was years of processing, of inner processing. And ultimately, it involved really going deep inside myself and discovering that all of that stuff was just thoughts anyway. There was nothing real about that. There was nothing real about my loss of sexual function, meaning that I had lost any kind of manlyhood at all. And ultimately, it actually created more of a sense of my own masculinity as a result, because I saw that ultimately I've now graduated from that program. I don't have to have that program running my show anymore. And I see people all around me running that show, fearing the loss of their sexual function. So I no longer have that fear because it's already happened to me. And I've already seen that it actually doesn't create what I thought it created. I'm still here, full, whole, complete, and able to access every bit of my masculinity.
So many things could have brought you down, and all of them, so many of them happened all at the same time. Yeah. And here you are.
Yeah.
How do you explain that?
Yeah. Well, you know, I like to use the analogy of, say life is like an island and we build a village on that island and that is our life. And normally we have waves that crash against the shore of that island. And over time, the shore erodes and a house maybe falls in or two houses fall in. And over the course of several decades of someone's life, they may experience these small challenges that sort of pull away at their vital energy over the course of many years. But because they're such small challenges, they don't really get into the practice of recognizing, first of all, that they've got an island, and then second of all, that they have the ability to rebuild that island. And with something as traumatic as a spinal cord injury, it's like what happens is a tsunami comes, and it just wipes away that whole village on that island. And you're left going, oh, man, every day I just have to put one brick after another back together to build this village back. And so it starts to create this mental attitude towards resilience that I didn't have any option of escaping that. I couldn't go and say, you know what, I've had enough. I'm going to go have a beer. I've had enough. I'm going to quit this job. Or I've had enough. I'm going to break up with this girlfriend or whatever. Those things were not options. So as a result of not having that option to get away from the challenge, I developed the capacity to actually be able to move through challenge and gain perspective on challenge that's actually very rare.
You not only developed, obviously, the capacity for yourself, but you are translating that into information and inspiration for many, many others. For those who want to know more, zenwarriortraining.com is the website. We're talking to Sam Morris, of course. zenwarriortraining.com. When we come back, we're going to find out more about Zen Warrior Training. And a little after that, music by Emar, all here on The Life Changes Show right after this.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
Great to have you here. I'm Filippo Voltaggio. I'm sitting here with Mark Lejeune and our guest, Sam Morris. A little later on, music by Emar. Zen Warrior Training is what we're going to be talking about next. But for those who are going to be interested, zenwarriortraining.com is where you can learn more information. Sam does workshops, one-on-one coaching, public appearances, public speaking, and all kinds of things. So you could find him at zenwarriortraining.com. You're also on Facebook and Twitter,
yeah,
right?
Facebook.com/zenwarriortraining. Twitter at ZW Training.
Okay.
So, I'm on all those things.
So say I don't like my life in some way or the other.
I'm sorry to hear that.
No, not me. I love my life. I love this moment. I love what I'm doing. Awesome. This is like the best. And this is the epitome of what I think Life Changes is all about. Mm. So true. Thank you. Mm. You're an awesome guest and an awesome person.
Thank you.
And I look forward to getting to know you better and doing more things together.
Absolutely. Me too.
And so Zen Warrior Training. So say there's somebody out there who doesn't like his life or something's not going right. Mm-hmm. And hears this show and says, you know, I'm going to do this Zen Warrior Training thing. So they come and mm-hmm. then mm-hmm. you make them cry. And then what else?
Well, part of what I work with is helping people to fully embody themselves. And what I mean by that is I teach meditation and breathing techniques and other embodiment techniques to help people to get into an experience of themselves that's bigger than just their thoughts. And so what someone doesn't like about themselves is 100% of the time going to be what they're thinking about themselves. So the first thing to do is to help people detach from their thoughts and get that they aren't their thoughts mm. and that we are ultimately our own worst enemies. And no one is out there judging people like people judge themselves. Mm. It just is, a lot of people at least have a very cruel way of talking to themselves. Even people who sometimes are very successful in certain areas, in other areas, they still have a cruel way of talking to themselves. And so I work on getting beyond that voice, beyond that level of relating to oneself and into a relating of oneself, which is far more embodied, which is in the present moment, which is not referring, that's the Zen part of it, being fully aware of oneself in the present moment. So you're not referring to yourself as an identity from the past, nor are you looking at yourself through the lens of your projections about hypothetical situations in the future. Mm. But instead, you're really looking at yourself through what's happening in the present moment and how you're affecting other people in the present moment, and really seeing yourself as a much more vast consciousness than the identity can possibly even keep up with. And so when people start to see themselves through that lens, naturally, those thoughts of self-hatred or disappointment or whatever start to go away because you can't really make that stuff go away at the level of the mind itself. You can't make it go away by thinking different thoughts. What you can do is you can embody your entire consciousness on a deeper level and then retrain your thoughts to actually get behind your consciousness, really get behind your soul's direction, really get behind your larger vision of yourself that is beyond your thinking mind. So that's really what I train people to do, is get those thoughts in line with where they want to go, with what they actually want to experience, that is much bigger than their previous imagination of what they think they are. So it's really a very transformative process.
It's a deeply transformative process. And you dive into a level that most don't take, or that most don't understand. And what I was getting while you were speaking is how, you know, people joke, right? Self-deprecating humor and mm-hmm. joke. And, mm-hmm. and so largely many people would argue with what you were saying, or wouldn't think that they're that, or that they would resonate with that, because mm-hmm. they think highly of themselves. And yet it all this self-deprecating humor comes mm-hmm. out, right? Mm-hmm. And because it's not coming from anger, mm-hmm. they don't see it as, you know, a lesser view of their selves.
So Mark, to be able to say that thing, but I was going to say it really quicker. No,
that's unusual. We flipped the script.
I was going to say,
life changes.
One of the hardest things to do is to hear a child say, "I'm such an idiot."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yet people are doing that all the time. I mean, when you think about the way that most people's minds work, it's really like a schizophrenic talking to themselves.
Ooh.
Wow. You know, it's like, this rambling that's going on. It's just this sort of pissed off rambling. And that's playing in a lot of people's minds. I'm sure people listening to this show right now, there's some people out there who can totally relate to that.
And those
and
people are just making my food,
yeah,
and they're
exactly,
putting
they're
that
making
into
your
it.
Your food, exactly, exactly, yeah, exactly. So really, that's not that crazy. That is just, you know, they're just expressing outwardly what's going on in a lot of people's minds inwardly anyway, that they know to edit and not to say out loud. But it's like the same crap. And so I help people to get beyond that crap and really transform into them, into their deeper level of self. And so it's a pretty amazing process. And
so through one-on-ones,
workshops,
public speaking engagements,
but yeah, you know, really the workshops and the one-on-ones are really the way that I can get deep into someone's life to really be able to impact them on a very powerful level.
And the Zen Warrior training is like a step-by-step. We start with this, and then we'd go here. And I mean, it's always the same, or different.
It's
obviously,
it's customized for each individual that I work with, and it's happening in the moment. So whatever is there, I do have a system of principles, of seven principles that I use as guidelines
that you used for yourself.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
In order to get to where you
exactly
are.
So at a certain point, as in the development of Zen Warrior training, I realized I have to sort of create a formula of sorts, because it's really hard to be able to learn something without some kind of system to wrap one's mind around. So I started to look at, well, what are the most empowering things that I have learned to do consistently for myself to be able to deal with massive challenges? So it's kind of like a backdoor into Zen awareness. So basically those things, and I know we're a little short on time, but in a nutshell, be in the now moment, be fully accountable for your experience, persevere, treat life as an adventure, be authentic, let go, and serve the greater good. So within those seven principles, it's kind of a backdoor to see, okay, well, is the way that I'm living, is the way that I'm thinking right now lined up with those principles? If not, there's something that I'm doing that is not fully conscious. And so that's a way to look at the entire picture and go, okay, how do I become more conscious within these principles? Am I not taking accountability for my situation? Am I not treating life as an adventure? Am I not letting go? Am I not in the now moment? Am I referring to myself, my identity that I thought I was in the past, or concerns about the future and my identity in the future? So that's kind of the backdoor way of getting into what ultimately is a expanded consciousness.
Oh, why am I feeling a movie coming soon?
There's a book in the works.
There
the
is.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. And the movie,
and the movie
to follow.
Yeah.
I have a feeling one of the brothers in there could play the young Sam.
That's
That's a good idea.
We got some people we wanted to introduce. Oh, yeah.
These guys who just walked
in. Yeah, I don't know. I'm feeling something.
It's got the same hair. We're good.
And they're into sports and all that stuff. So anyway,
nice
for later.
Yeah.
Do you know how fun this has been?
It's been amazing.
This has been so great. And who knew this much fun could be had
in a wheelchair?
Awesome.
You're amazing.
Thank you.
You're amazing. Thank you. What a pleasure.
Yeah.
Zen Warrior Training, Sam Morris. I know you've got so much more to say. People will just have to go to your website and tune in, or hopefully we'll get to do something with you.
There's going
to
be some online video tutorials coming up on the website as well. The website is actually going through a major revision right now. It's kind of a crap site that I did myself. And so in a couple of weeks, I'm going to launch a whole new, brand new, beautiful website. So keep checking in on that site. There's going to be a lot of great video content and a lot of great new stuff coming up.
ZenWarriorTraining.com. Sam Morris, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
We'll be right back with music by Emar right after this on the Life Changes Show.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back, and we're speaking French, evidently, with our musical guest, Emar, also known as, well, she's Melissa Rebrogna.
Rebrogna, yes.
Okay.
In French, it sounds cool.
I like that. But most people know you as Emar.
Well, MR, actually.
MR.
It's just a fancy way to write my initials, Melissa Rebrogna,
MR. Oh. Okay, and it's but is it E-M-A-R?
Well, I read it the European way, M-R, you know, M-R.
Okay.
But many people say
I'm forgiven.
E-M-R. You're forgiven, yes.
Oh, okay. so you know, I think it's interesting that you're here and Sam Morris is here, don't you?
Here's the really funny thing about where I met Sam. I don't know if Sam remembers, but the first time it was a Daybreaker boat cruise where everybody was dancing.
Really?
Yeah, that was my first time. And then the second time was a hike.
And he was there in the wheelchair.
He was there. Yeah.
Wow. See?
Yeah. So, well, he's got it going on. Yeah.
I was supposed to be at that Daybreaker.
Yeah. It was awesome.
And nobody told me about it. Otherwise, I would have been. From now on, you have to let me know these things. I love people is what you wrote.
Yes.
I want every human to be happy. I was born in a beautiful country that no longer exists. As a child, my first piece of writing began, quote, "My wish is that," end quote, "I wished that people who had no limbs would grow them."
Yes.
How do you feel after this show?
You know what's funny is I just wrote what was in my heart, and I remember my teacher made me read it in front of the class, but I was just like seven or eight, and I was like, what's the big deal? And I just read it, you know? And I remember her smiling, but I was just a kid. I was just speaking my truth.
Well, you were speaking your heart.
Yeah, my heart.
And you still are, through your music.
Yes.
Tell us about, you sing in every language, or as many languages, because why?
Well, because I want to celebrate different religions and cultures as one. And today, actually, I posted on Facebook that I was going to be singing in a few languages. And somebody in India said, oh, my God, like how we're so honored that you're singing Hindi, our national language. So I get responses.
Are you singing Hindi?
Like I am. I'm singing
Hindi.
Oh,
they knew
tonight.
It, and we don't. Nobody tells me anything. You're singing Hindi? Is that the first thing you're going to sing?
Yes, but the best story I have is I arrived in Singapore, and the cab driver picked me up, and he told me he was Hindi, and I said Hindu, and I said I sing in Hindi, and he's like, no. So I actually sang for him, and he was almost in tears. He came out and hugged me. He goes, that is so beautiful. If you, he's like, if you moved here, you would be a star. I'm like, well, you know, I'm a star right now for you, you know? So it was really beautiful.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, people are really touched when you want to connect with them and you're willing to speak their language. And for me, it's singing in their language. So I only actually speak two languages, but I can sing in many because I have a Serbian palate and an English palate. So those two languages together allow me to explore other languages.
And so this song is Hindi. And what is it called?
So this song is called Tumhare Darshan. And it's originally a Hindi mantra that was sang by Deva Premal. And I contacted the original writers in India and asked them if I can do my own version. So I added Serbian and English lyrics.
Mm.
And why I like this song, because it's celebrating being in the presence of the enlightened one. So, yeah.
Well, let's celebrate.
Yes.
Here's and it's MR singing.
Tumhare Darshan.
Tumhare Darshan.
This is off my album Sacred Soul, MR. And so this is a different version. I'm here with my friend Kevin DePolt, who's playing guitar for me. And yeah.
Well, thank you, Kevin, for being here as well. Here we are at Studio NoHo, live on the Life Changes Show.
Tumhare Darshan.
Thank you.
Did you say that was a prayer?
Yes, it's celebrating being in the presence of the enlightened one. The Hindi translation is, it is the time to see you, my beloved. It is the season to dance and celebrate. With joy in every breath, it is time to live in bliss.
It's time to live in bliss. Yes. Thank you. MR, spelled E-M-A-R, music.com, right?
Yes,
is where
correct.
People can get this
yes.
music.
Yes, they can.
And this is from which city, you said?
From which city?
CD.
Oh, CD.
Oh, yes. Because like, you've lived
well,
in like four
I
or five.
it's MR Sacred Soul.
Let me see. Belgrade, Toronto.
Vancouver and LA.
And
LA is
LA.
My fourth city, yes.
And you're not done yet, right?
Well, I feel like LA is my North American home, but I do fantasize about an extended stay in Italy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Allora, possiamo parlare dopo.
Sì.
Okay. And so now, what are we going to hear?
So the next song is actually a Croatian song.
Oh.
And it's something that was in a famous movie in the 80s when I was a child.
In Croatia?
Yes, in former Yugoslavia, actually.
Oh, okay.
So it's just dear to my heart, and I did, I like singing it. It's really meant to be sang by a man, but I like doing that kind of stuff, singing, you know. A song that's meant for men.
So it's not sung by a man, it's sung by Amar.
Yes, exactly. And I added English lyrics, which is kind of cool. So some people, Croatian people, are now finding me online saying, oh my God, I really like this version because there's English lyrics.
Well, very good. Well, hopefully they're listening now. And so we're going, what is this called?
So this is called Na morskome plavom žalu, but my translation is Ocean's Blue. So it's a song about a guy being by the ocean and he dreams of a beautiful blonde woman. And he realizes that it's just a dream. So he wishes that he can dream of her again and be with her.
Okay. Well, here is...
It's kind of like a sweet, you know, heart song.
Here is MR singing... Moja.
Namorskome plavom žalu. I know, it's hard. Don't even try.
By
the sea. Basically, it's by the sea.
Live at Studio No.
Na morskom plavom žalu, gdje čarlija vjetrić mio, plavušu sam bajno snio. O kako sam sretan bio, i dok sam joj govorio, drhtale su usne njene, a u mome zagrljaju, plakala je ljubeć mene. E da mi je još jedan sresti, da je pitam da me ona voli, da joj kažem da me srce voli, da je bez nje tužan život cijeli. By the ocean's coastal blue, where the wind blows oh so smooth, I'm beauty like I've never seen, stood before me in a tree, while she whispered softly to me, drhtale su usne njene, a u mome zagrljaju. She gently placed her arms around me. If only I would see her once again. Da je pitam da me ona voli, da joj kažem da me srce voli. Cause without her, life is oh so lonely. Cause without her, life
beautiful.
Thank you.
That is so beautiful. The language was beautiful. Your singing was beautiful. You're beautiful. And then you looked at me and smiled during one of those parts. And it was in Croatian, but I knew it was Filippo, I love you. It was beautiful.
But it was a dream.
He was almost going to cry again.
So thank you so much, MR, spelled E-M-A-R. And you can get her music at emarmusic.com.
iTunes and CD Baby.
And on iTunes and CD Baby. What's the CDs? What are the CDs called again?
MR Sacred Soul.
Okay, E-M-A-R. And Kevin DePold, thank you so much for accompanying our beautiful guest. What more can I say? Sam Morris, I am blessed to have been at this show today. I'm so glad I came. I can't imagine not having been here in the presence of all of you. This has been very special. With that, I'd like to acknowledge our engineer here at Studio NoHo, Brent Hahn. Thank you so much for helping
us
sound so good. A big shout out to our program manager, Doug Newsom at BBS Radio. Our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, thank you. Our producer, Mark Lejeune, thank you. I am Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you, as your life changes, as ours did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.